we all here? Excellent. I think Christoph Rilsman's title is one of the most intriguing we've ever had.
I'm on tenterhooks to discover
what we're going to hear. Christoph Rilsman.
Okay, thank you very much for this very nice introduction. Thank you very much for having me here. This is the first time for me to be in a CA forum such as this. Earlier on, Charles promised you a series of CA bingos. I'm definitely trying to provide one, but I'm just not entirely sure because the talk that I'm going to deliver is largely technical. But I hope you will nonetheless come along with me and bear with me if it's getting too technical. Right, CA and XML. So here is what I'm going to be talking about. Why use XML in conversation analysis? What is it? How to use it? How to get it for CA? And finally, I'll conclude with a short application, namely gaze in multi-party interaction. So why use XML in CA? Well, I decided to start off with the big fundamental concepts in CA and with one of the great authors in CA, namely Sachs. And the answer, I should right away say, why use XML in CA is because it helps CA achieve its goal. What is its goal? According to Sachs, its goal is finding the machinery. So I'll read out the whole quote. Thus, it is not any particular conversation as an object that we're primarily interested in. Our aim is to get into a position to transform our view of what happened from a matter of a particular interaction done by particular people to a matter of interactions as products of a machinery. We're trying to find the machinery. Now, in the same context, intriguingly, Sachs uses the notion of generalizability, something that has been brought up today, this morning already. Generalizability happens to be one of the key notions in a scientific area that certainly does not come readily to mind when talking about CA. It's the key notion in inferential statistics. Because here the key question is, can I justifiably generalize from the necessarily small sample that I've got to the population of the phenomenon that I'm interested in? So the quest for the machinery requires not only fine-grained qualitative analysis of particular interactions, but also quantitative data based on large-scale qualitative analysis of interactions and rigorous statistical analysis. And this is where XML comes in, because XML is a technology that facilitates quantitative analysis. That brings me to the second question, what is it? What is XML? Those of you familiar with Xmeralda or Elan will be familiar with XML to a certain extent at least, because this is one of the options that you can choose when working with Elan or Xmeralda. So you can have your data stored in an XML format. But I take it that very few people use this option. What is it really? XML, putting it very simply, is a data architecture, data structure. It is machine readable. And because it is machine readable, it facilitates what these days would be called big data analysis. It accommodates textual and metadata. Analytical data would be metadata, and we have lots of them in CA transcripts. It connects data in a hierarchical network of nodes. And that I'd like to show in this graphic here. This is the hierarchical network of nodes. And you can see that every node is either superordinate or subordinate to some other node. And every node is connected to any other node. And this is the beauty of XML, because it makes every node or node set addressable and extractable, whatever the size of the data. The most central node type among a few others, is the element. The element has three components, the element name, the attribute value. To show an example, just a very quick and dirty example from CABNC, Sol's beautiful resource, a 2 million word corpus, which contains detailed measurements of turn and word lengths. Here you would have a word element and a C5, which is a grammatical part of speech tag, attribute, and the value of this attribute would be IDJ, standing for interjection. You can have numerous attributes and numerous attribute values within one element, etc. That is no problem. How to use XML? Well, here, that's the point where it becomes a little technical. Maybe not everybody will like or going to be using this kind of query languages that I'm going to shortly talk about, namely XPath and XQuery. These are programming languages that you need to master to a certain extent to make the best of XML. They are languages, they are not software. They run on certain platforms, for example, Exist or BaseX. BaseX is the one I would recommend because it's really simple. These languages have their own syntax, and that makes for a certain learning curve. I've been using the two languages for a number of years now, and I can consider myself as an okay user, but it took me some time. But when I started doing them, I didn't have any access to any helping material, learning stuff, didactic material, and etc. Therefore, I provided one myself. This is a really easy introduction. Everybody can follow here. You can, using XPath and XQuery, you can address and extract node sets in XML documents. For example, to again reconnect to CABNC, if you're interested in working on that corpus, how many turns there are in that corpus, then the syntax couldn't be simpler. A double slash and a U. The U is the label, the element label given for what you may call a turn. So that'll give you how many turns there are. That'll give you the turns themselves, right? If you want to just have a number, you use the count function and it'll give you the number of turns there. If you want to have, and you will probably always will have that kind of more sophisticated kind of queries, for example, but that's not pretty, that's not really very advanced, sophisticated, but still relatively simple, which turns in that corpus are well prefaced, so which turns start with well, then you can use this query. And if you inquire into or want to make use of the durational information in CABNC, you can set up a query such as this, but I'm not going to explain the details here. But it's just a number of lines of code, and if you know the syntax, it just takes you 2, 3, or 5 minutes to set it all up. Okay, how to get XML for CA? And now this is hopefully the highlight of this talk, because I'd like to introduce a tool we have developed. We, meaning Matt Gee of Birmingham City University, and myself, called XTranscript. It's already online. It's been updated these past few days. If you Google it, typing in XTranscript, the first hit is the right one. What does XTranscript do? It automatically converts CA transcripts into the XML format, and hardly any sacrifices need to be made. That's the beauty of this. It is still work in progress, and we're hoping to update it regularly, but it's already pretty far developed. Because it is indeed able to convert CA transcripts with all Jeffersonian transcription symbols into XML. And considering what the CA transcript is in CA, namely the basis of it all, detailed enough to facilitate the analyst's quest to discover and describe orderly practices of social action in interaction, this is, to my mind, not a minor achievement. In other words, all the transcript details, including the text and the annotations, are turned into XML nodes, making them addressable and extractable. Maybe later on during the pause, or maybe now, you can just give it a try, upload any of your files, and see what it does to them. Some post-editing is still needed at this point. Capitals are not recognized for stress. Laughter is a difficult area. Some of it is getting recognized, some of it isn't. Also, you have the additional option of having your tag, of having your text or your transcript part of speech tagged, but I don't know whether that is relevant for you guys here. Okay, it wouldn't work. X-Transcript wouldn't be working without a tagging scheme behind it that tells the machine what is to be converted into what. So we developed a relatively large tagging scheme, hopefully containing all CA symbols and turning them into XML elements. We've divided it into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 broad categories: sequential aspects, temporal aspects, phonological aspects, all of them relating to vocal delivery, then laughter, comments, gaze, and finally gesture. Speaking of gaze, brings me to my application that I'd like to present here to show how X-Transcript works, and that it does work with really detailed and difficult data. So I'd like to show a brief video, which is just 48 seconds long, showing an interaction between a girl called Sandra and two boys who are brothers. And I'd just like you to pay attention to the gaze of Sandra, who is the main protagonist in this interactional sequence. Sandra is telling a story in response to Leo's inquiring about Sandra's brother. Now, this, to my mind, makes Leo the address recipient of the story. You could say he's included to a greater extent than Rico, who is the unaddressed recipient, and potentially excluded because he's not the recipient of the story.
Well, when we came back the day after I arrived, his best friend was getting married, and he was his best man. So of course, that was the entire, I mean, people from back from college, from when he knew them, that's his best friend from college, actually. So when the wedding was going on, the guy invited everybody who they knew from back from college, which means people were coming from Germany, from Croatia, from Serbia. I mean, like, there were 2-3 tables just reserved for Virginia Tech people. That was awesome, so that was really cool. So he finally reconnected with all of those people. Met some other ones through that, met some girls. And I was like, please, let something happen. Yeah, so it's nice. I very much approve. She is gorgeous. She's just that gorgeous. But yeah, so he's doing well besides that.
Okay, one of the interesting things that can be observed in this interaction is the fact that Sandra's gaze very frequently shifts between the two brothers, although there is an unequal participational setup. So this is a phenomenon I like to refer to as multidirectional gaze. And the question I'd just like to address here in terms of providing a kind of illustration of how X-Transcript works is this: how to examine multidirectional gaze in XML. But this is just a teaser. It's just an illustration of what you can do with that. This is not a case study. Right, so you would probably want to start with your transcript, and you would have to come up with a set of categories and symbols to grasp the different directions, right? And so we have gaze to Leo, gaze to Rico, downward gaze, upward gaze, sideways gaze, and shifting gaze, and you would note them in the transcript, largely based on the notation by Goodwin, 1981, I think, or 4. You would then elaborate your XML, your CA transcript, right? here, the text, and above the text line, the indication of the gaze. You would then use X transcript to get that converted, and it will look like this. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with what XML looks like. This may be a little overwhelming for people who have never seen such a kind of thing, but actually there is a lot of order in this kind of stuff. For example, we have the indication of the gaze up here, and you find exactly the same gaze duration that is indicated up here, down here in the duration value. You would have the pause indicated up here in the transcript, converted into a timing attribute. You would have the pitch up that you can see here, as well as the lengthening here. You would find the laughter, two types of laughter, between speech and within speech down here, all nicely prepared, with a little bit of post-editing necessary at this point, as I said. And you would have overlap indicated here in the sequential element, as well as the unclear hearing also indicated here. So in other words, all the details pretty much of the CA transcript are intact in the XML transcript. Now, how to go on from here? You would then upload the XML transcript to BaseX, the platform that I mentioned before. You would start your queries. And if you want to start with a simple question, something to get you some summary statistics, you could count the number of gazes by Sandra. And you would find, you would use this, and you would find that we're having 1,500 gazes. I don't want to handle them manually, to be honest. I'm not the type of person. I want to have a grasp on this that allows me a more efficient access to them. And if you want to have more, if you want to have more specific data, XML allows that too, obviously. For example, if you're interested in the number of gazes to Leo and Rico per turn, you can use this query here, which is an X query code. So for each turn by Sandra, give me this and that data. So you define Sandra's turns as a variable. And all of this phrase here, the concat phrase, defines this, the salt output from the variable. And within this, you define the number of gazes to Leah and Rico as a subvariable. And that's what you get then. This is the output from BaseX. So you have the three categories here. You have the text there. You have the number of gazes to Leah and Rico. You have the turn numbers here. Then you can further process this a little bit and get some initial statistics. For example, you might inquire whether what we've just seen, that frequent shifting of gaze between the two brothers, is that something sporadic, something we needn't even talk about much because it's not really generalizable, or is it something regular? Well, you can, for example, count the number of gazes directed to Leah and Rico per turn, as before, and you would get this graphic. You can see there are some turns, just 17 of them, that have no gaze to either of the brother at all. You have roughly half of all turns which where the gaze is just directed to one of the brothers, but you have also almost half of all gazes which are directed to at least two, which are directed at least to Leo and Rico at the same time within the same turn. So you can say from this statistics here that Sandra's gaze, or multi-directional gaze, is a regular behavior occurring in almost every second turn. Obviously, this is just a beginning, and you will want to investigate what is really going on in much more detail, looking at the contexts. For example, storytelling, assessment, etc. These are low-key where multi-directional gaze by Sandra seems to be occurring more frequently than anywhere else. Yeah, fine, okay. So just to give you a glimpse of what I'm getting at in doing this as a case study, this could be evidence to support the hypothesis that because conversation is built for two, and because it constantly poses a danger of excluding one or more than one participants in multi-party interactions, this kind of gaze, the multi-directional gaze, might perhaps be a resource for inclusion. But this is just a hypothesis at this stage. So, in a nutshell, XML, I think, can help CA achieve its goal of finding the machinery. X-transcripts is a beautiful technology, I think, because it converts CA transcripts into XML, and it does so pretty much reliably without forcing you to make big sacrifices. What is lost? Is there anything lost? I don't think there is anything lost. You still keep your transcripts. You have them in a different format. Pretty much the same information is contained in the XML transcript as in the CA transcript. The qualitative basis is intact. No changes have occurred. Nothing has changed conceptually. It's just the format. So this brings me to a question, what is gained? Gained is a new dimension, a large scale dimension, because you can process unlimited data sizes in one go. You configure your code, and it doesn't matter whether your corpus is 1,000 words or hundreds of million words. You get the information instantly. It is efficient because it allows immediate access to data of interest through the query languages, XPath and XQuery, and it provides for CA a quantitative dimension, exact counts of data of interest, or in Robertson's words, numbers and statistics. And if I still have time, 1 minute, a little outlook. Let's start with a realistic outlook. I've already mentioned CABNC, beautiful resource. I'm not going to talk about that. I'd also like to mention that we're currently in the process of building a corpus, the CITGO corpus, the storytelling interaction corpus. That is an XML corpus of storytelling based on CA transcripts of two sources. The one source is the BNC audio files, and the other source are Birmingham City University video recordings. And all of this is going to be transformed into XML using X-transcript. Another, perhaps more utopian outlook is this. What about transforming or expanding X-transcript into a crowdsourced corpus? I mean, there are hundreds and thousands, perhaps more, tens of thousands of beautiful CA transcripts around in the world. They all share the same syntax. They all share the same enthusiasm for detail, the same sensitivity to detail. What about, well, putting them all into X transcript and working with really, really big CA data? Okay, thank you very
much.
Thank
you very much. Smashing, there's plenty of food for thought there. So I'll just let people mull for a minute. I see a hand up, but we'll move around a bit and see who's got things to say. We'll start then with some old hands. So Kobin first, and then Lorenza. Kobin.
Well, thank you for this talk. You know, I'm somebody who has advocated for using quantification in conversation analysis. But I just wanted to push back on a couple of things that you said. So at the beginning, you rightly claim that conversation analysts are interested in generalizability, and I think we are. But I don't agree with you that quantification is required to get to generalizability. I think there's ample evidence in the CA literature, the generalizability can be had from qualitative methods. Look at, for example, the turn-taking model by Sachs et al. It stood the test of time. It's very robust. And that was not developed using quantification.
No, it wasn't. No, just finish.
I have another one that's the same type of thing. So maybe.
Yeah, let me respond to that. You're absolutely right. It did stand the test of time. Why is this? Because it's obvious. Because the rules of turn-taking are obvious. We can see them at work every single day on hundreds of occasions. We all instantly agree, yeah, that's the way it works. But statistically speaking, it hasn't been proven. It hasn't been tested. And if you really speak of generalizability, you have to use numbers. You really have to use analytical tests. In the case of turn-taking, you can rely on everybody recognizing it. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we're doing. But if you move from the obvious phenomena to a less obvious phenomena, you cannot rely on everybody else agreeing with you based on their everyday experience. You have to perform tests. Lauren, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I agree with you that there is, I really think that there is a kind of convergence between the idea that the way in which XML invites you to think and the way in which for a lot of features we think in our transcripts. Because we very often bracket features in our transcripts. That's a basic element that it's very compatible with XML. On the other side, so you are not the first to try to put transcripts in XML, and for example, around McWinney and Klan, there have been a lot of attempts, and I have participated in that at some point. And what you have is a lot of errors, actually. And you must have absolutely clean transcripts for doing a successful conversion. So there is, of course, no magic around that. Now, for the Gaze example that you show, I think that the issue is, there are two issues for me. One issue is the fact that you can XMLize a multimodal transcript if you don't do a transcript but a coding. And in my view, I can expand that, but I do not do that. There is a difference between coding and transcribing. And the price to go for coding might be epistemologically quite high. So this is a theoretical discussion, I think, that we must have with the community about that.
Absolutely.
And related to that, I think
Lauren,
that the statistics...
Maybe just the one question, because we're running out of time.
The statistics that you have shown reminded me a little bit what Manny Shagloff was discussing in 1993. We're not interested in how many times people laugh, for example, or gaze at each other, but we're interested in sequential positions. And for having tried that kind of things, I know that bracketing in sequential positions is something that is very, very difficult.
Okay. Can I just briefly try and answer this in two ways? You mentioned coding. There is a lot of coding going on in any CA transcript, and XML beautifully transforms this using or based on X-transcript. That's the first point. The second point is there is a very nice article out in 2015 by Tanya Stivers about the issue of coding. And there she very beautifully shows that there is always quantification going on, even in the most qualitative analysis. You can always hear and read people say things like, very commonly you find this and that, very frequently in my data there is this and that, etc. You have these relatively vague quantifications all over the place. If you're fine with this, I'm the type of person I want to have it more precise, to be quite honest. Because I don't take it on everybody's authority that this is really more frequent than that, and even if it is more frequent than that, in his or her data, is it generally more frequent than that? And this is the kind of thing statistics can tell me.
I think there's going to be a great deal more of opportunity to talk, because there's a great deal to talk about with respect to the way that all of us work, and the idea of having a very, 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 very large database is very attractive. But of course, there are considerations which we have to go into. So one more round of applause for Christoph.